Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Oh.
Winter time.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. We've had sub-freezing temperatures down here in Dallas, and I expect you've had more than sub-freezing temperatures up in Pennsylvania.
21 degrees. Hoo-hoo-hoo.
That's nice.
Oh, yeah. It kind of welcomes the season, you know. Seasons should always, the winter seasons, the holiday seasons, should always be brisk. And this is certainly brisk. And so it was a cold day around the country. Lots of snow in upper New York. And but it was a little warm for gold today. I'm not going to say it's hot. Gold wasn't hot today, just warm. Mm-hmm. We found $9.70 in the New York spot at $11.97.90. Silver was a little cooler, 0.07 at $16.31. Platinum was up 4. At 12.10, along with palladium, up 3 at 7.76. USDX today, down 0.35 at 87.59. And we have crude oil, another beating today, 1.33 at 74.31. And I'm going to double check my other site, because that's been sort of there all day on this one level. And let's see, the actual spot shows 0.29 at 74.32, so close there. Both the Dow and the S&P closed at a new record, and the S&P is now up 11% in 2014. You have the Dow up 40 points at 17,687. The NASDAQ up 31 at 4702, creeping up on that 5,000 level. The S&P up 10 at 2,051. 10-year yield down 0.02 at 2.32%. So, you know, a lot of hoopla in the paper markets. You know, they can cry. The economy is just fantastic. But
you know,
gold,
it is for some people, but for the majority, it's not.
For the majority of people, no. It's good for all your multinational corporations, the owners, and the movers and the shakers.
Not a whole lot of shaking going on, Melody.
Not a whole lot of shaking going on. And the news was relatively quiet today. It's kind of odd, I think, with everything that's going on with the G20 meeting over and, you know, things certainly heating up in Israel today, where there was that, where three Americans were killed in a synagogue. Pardon?
With an axe, if I understand.
Knives, axes, whatever. There was actually four killed in a Jerusalem synagogue. And certainly, you know, it's interesting. Bibi says, we're going to respond harshly. And Obama says, oh, let's lower the tensions a little bit. You know, I mean, here it's three Americans. Who gives a hoot? Obama certainly doesn't. And, you know, perhaps, you know, there's always the old question, you know, who were these people and blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, people lost their lives. And so things will see war heated up there, I assure you. And, of course, that will never go away. That's what I was going to say. It never goes away.
One thing you're not going to see is, in my opinion, is politicians are hollering peace, peace, and there is no peace, just as it says in the Bible. I believe the Bible is right on that.
Absolutely.
I don't expect to see peace in the Middle East.
No.
You know, I don't blame people for trying to make peace happen, but I don't see it happening. How's it going to happen? What are they going to do? Who thinks we have a politician who's bright enough to put together a peace plan that's going to satisfy the Arabs, the Muslims, and the Jews? Anybody think that can be done? I mean, in the end, the Muslims want the Jews driven into the sea. If the world powers or something, if they want to solve the Middle East crisis, they're going to have to take all the Jewish people, move them out of Israel, and locate them to the island of Cyprus. Maybe that'll solve the problem. But as long as Israel's there, this is going to be a problem. And what are you going to do? I don't know. I don't have a solution for it, but peace, peace, there is no peace. I just don't expect to see it.
And wars and rumors of wars.
Yeah, that's true.
Wars and rumors of wars.
Now, over in the Middle East, you know, it goes to this business with the oil, obviously, in the Middle East. If it wasn't for the oil, who would care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does the Middle East have other than crude oil that would attract anyone's attention? It would be a place on the globe and people would say, Syria? Where is that? And Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
It would be like the heart of Africa or something. It would be, but they have a bunch of oil. And as the Bible says, the love of oil is the root of all evil. No, it doesn't say the love of oil. It says the love of money. But still, it's pretty much, the love of oil is a close second to the love of money. And so here we have
one of the same. Money can be defined in many different ways.
It kind of can. I mean, you can use whatever you want for barter.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on, it goes to what is the intrinsic nature of
right.
the currency. And if the money conveys both legal title and equitable title, I'm good to go. I can work with corn cobs.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's only going to convey, transfer equitable title to property, and that's all you wind up with, and that's what happens with our Federal Reserve notes, and I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a complex argument.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all it's doing, it's not really a money, it's just a currency, and that's what we have right now. It is simply unfortunate that the vast majority of people don't understand anything more about money than it's something that you can spend. They don't understand its relationship to legal title, to equitable title. They don't understand if it's a medium of exchange or a medium of transfer. Most don't understand what that means, and this goes to your rights. It's not just a question of what you can purchase. It's a question of what you can own and what you can claim as land and homes and automobiles and a bunch of other things.
The real thing, the real thing.
From this fiat currency that are far more important ultimately than the fact that it's just loaned into circulation or that it's intrinsically worthless. It's dangerous to your rights. But that's a lecture for another day, Melody.
Today, Vladimir Putin, he was speaking in Moscow. He said the United States wants to subdue Moscow, but will never succeed. He says they do not want to humiliate us. They want to subdue us, solve their problems at our expense. And he said that after at the end of a four-hour meeting over there in Moscow. He says, no one in history ever managed to achieve this with Russia. No one ever will. And then he goes on and he talks about that. But the whole thing that I thought about that was, you know, to solve their problems at our expense. And certainly the U.S. has a lot of problems. Now, whether they're truly trying to solve their problems or not.
At the expense of Russia.
Yeah.
That seems unlikely. In fact, These are the kinds of remarks that suggests that Mr. Putin is beginning to succumb to some conspiracy theories. I'm not arguing that the U.S. doesn't have an axe to grind with Russia. I'm not arguing that, you know, we didn't precipitate the problem in the Ukraine in the first place. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Well,
business
just like,
is business in a sense, and Putin shouldn't be exactly surprised by this.
Not when he was claimed to be part of the order from it was Soros. You know, he's part of the problem. He's part of the international family. And he plays an important role. And, you know, whether Putin enjoys being used or is agreed to being used for the benefit of the New World Order.
I don't think he's working with the New World Order particularly. I don't get that impression.
I think anybody who has billions of dollars works with a...
I think there's competition. I think Russia and China are not per se card-carrying members of the New World Order. I don't doubt China will go any way the wind blows if there's money to be made.
Russia right?
They'll
will
go with the New World Order. They'll go without the New World Order. I don't care. But I think their position on the New World Order, they don't have an objection to it as long as they get a seat near the top of the table. If they have to be subservient to something like the United States, for example, and Western powers in the New World Order, then I think China and Russia are going to say, no, we're not going to play second fiddle. But who can say?
I'm not so sure.
I'm not either.
Well, you know,
I'm not giving you gospel.
You know,
I could call Mr. Putin up when we get done with the program. I'll give him a call and maybe he'll tell me. But I think I have to learn to speak Russian before I can do that.
They have interpreters. So.
They have interpreters?
Well, they probably should if they don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I always thought would have been a fascinating job.
Being an interpreter?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too schizophrenic for me. You know, you got to listen in one language and speak in another language at the same time. And unlike Gerald Ford, I can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, but I don't know if I can. Listen in Russian and speak in English. I don't know.
I do. I think it would be fascinating. Anyway, 70 years. It took 70 years for Germany to be named the world's favorite country. And this is according to, I don't know, Anhalt GFK Nations Brand Index. It measures the image of 50 leading nations. Germany knocked out the United States from its longtime perch at the top of the ratings, which measures 23 different attributes that make up the six overall dimensions on which national image is based. I couldn't find those 23, you know, what they actually used and so forth, which I thought it would be kind of interesting that they didn't put that into this report. But the index is compiled from a total of over 20,000 interviews with people in 20 countries, and this company is based in Denmark. And what I found interesting, the USA which held first place since 2009. And, you know, when I started reading this article, I thought, well, you know, the U.S. was probably always at the top, you know, but for the U.S. to hold first place since 2009, I mean, that was right during the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. The world was coming apart, and yet the U.S. was in number one, even though the U.S. got blamed for, you know, the trickle down of the economic problems, or, you know, and you know, at least here and in Europe and so forth. So I found that interesting that people held the USA in that status in 2009, that particular year. But so Germany is now number one. The U.S. has lost significant ground, of course, you know, with all the tension that has been felt recently. Both Russia and Egypt were downgraded, particularly Russia. They had the biggest drop of the 50 countries.
So where is the United States now?
They actually didn't say, I would assume, since they got knocked out of first place, that they'd be number two.
What I find interesting is, if I'm doing my math correctly, 70 years ago is 1944.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time since 1944 that Germany's been at the top of the list.
Yeah.
But does that mean that in 1944 they were at the top of the list and then fell? I mean, I don't think that's what it means, but it probably means they've only been tracking these numbers since 1944. But it's just strange. Takes you all the way back to World War II and the Nazi era and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand why they have a certain amount of respect. You said United States was there in 2009,
mm-hmm.
even though we may have been significantly responsible for the global recession that started at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing about it, people sit back and they kind of respect or admire the nation that is not going into poverty. And it may be that the rest of the nations of the world were in more trouble than the United States was in 2009. Regardless of the extent of the problems we had, it may be that the other nations were worse, or at least they thought they were potentially worse. And they said, the United States is still safer than the rest of these places, and therefore they admired it. That would be consistent a little bit with Germany being number one today. Their economy is essentially, you know, as individual nations go, it's probably, you could argue it's not the biggest, but it might be the strongest and most stable in the world today. You could make that argument.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's true or false, but you could make that argument. And it just suggests that the reason people say, oh, that's the best country, where can you make the most money or live with the least amount of fear?
Well, it shows that the U.S. was still held number one in creativity, contemporary culture, educational institutions, and where it suffered was from its perceived shaky record in global peace and security.
Well, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that cultural thing going on. As long as we've got Dancing with the Stars, we're number one. We're number one. So there's our cultural contribution to world history.
And our great educational institutions for foreigners. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, what else have we got, Melody? We've got, what, half a minute before we have to take a break?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Shall we needle Frank a little bit
No, I don't want to. No, I don't want to needle Frank.
Oh, come on, please.
No, I don't.
I haven't given Frank a hard time for a long time. Frank is our producer, and he sits quietly in the background. And I like to needle Frank from time to time, just teasing. And Frank needles me. He does it by instant message, but See, there it goes. He's started the break. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pay Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, the great coins we had yesterday, Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold pieces. Sold quite a few of those today at $782, and the price, of course, did rise. And it rose about $10 today. And we can continue the $782 only through the end of today before we'll have to readjust if gold prices continue to rise tomorrow. So again, these are Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold piece. Their surviving population, Mint State 62, is only about 98,000. 600 of these coins are known to be Mint State 62 condition. And that's a combination of PCGS and NGC, the two certification companies. And so they're great buys, beautiful coins, and certainly a great deal at $782. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our newsletter, you can sign up on our website, and the program that we use to send out the newsletter, they're having some technical problems, and usually our newsletter goes out on Monday, and it hasn't been released as yet, so we will get that out to you just as soon as these problems are taken care of. But you can sign up for future newsletters at DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com, and if you ever have any questions that you would like to address, that you would like Alfred and myself to address on the program, you can always email us at questions at DGScoins.com, questions at dgscoins.com.
Okay, so how about here's an article from the Associated Press. Oregon immigration vote is a warning to Obama. Obama has, since the elections earlier this month, really just last week, well, not quite last week, 10 days ago or thereabouts, Obama has promised that he's going to unilaterally grant immunity to some or all of the illegal aliens that are in this country. And he's doing it despite the fact that he knows the vast majority of American people are against it. Right? And he's essentially saying he doesn't care what you people want. He wants to let some illegal aliens into the country, and he's going to do what he wants to do because he is the president almighty. Well, here's an article from the Associated Press. Oregon immigration vote is a warning for Obama. Obama is considering acting on his own as early as this week to possibly shield from deportation up to 5 million immigrants now living illegally in this country. This is fascinating because what we're talking about, they want to call them undocumented workers and a bunch of other crapola. They are illegal aliens. Your president is conspiring to allow a bunch of people who have violated the law to be granted immunity. Well, why doesn't he come up and say people who commit murder should be granted immunity? Or people who rob banks should
they
be
do.
Granted immunity?
They do.
Well, only if they're rich. All right. But the point is, you have a president who is in charge of executing the laws, who is violating the laws, or at least threatening to. Now, some Republicans in Congress are threatening a government shutdown if the president follows through with his plans to grant amnesty to illegal aliens. However, the fate of a little noticed ballot measure in strongly Democratic Oregon serves as a warning to President Barack Obama and his party about the political perils of immigration policy. Even as Oregon voters were legalizing recreational marijuana and expanding Democrat majorities in state government, they decided by a margin of 66 to 34 to cancel a new state law that would have provided driver's licenses to people who are in the United States illegally. All right? In other words, Oregon is behaving in a way that we could say clearly liberal, clearly blue state. They're legalizing recreational marijuana. They're expanding Democratic majorities in state government, and that would be because they're inspired by the extraordinary example of how well Democrats run governments like Chicago or Detroit. But in any case, they're going to bring that Democratic majority. They're going to just state government, legalize marijuana, but they don't want any more illegal aliens. The Oregon measure tells you these measures are not easy or simple, said Muzaffar Christie of the Migration Policy Institute. The political cost may be significant, even in blue states. It's an illustration that even the Democrats don't want more illegal aliens in this country. And yet Obama sits there saying, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what anybody wants. It's what I want. He is one of the most inept politicians that this country has probably ever seen. I don't mean that he has no success, but he manages, insofar as he achieves anything, he does so without public support, and he doesn't even look for it. This is a little bit like his policy on immigration is to some extent similar to his policy on Obamacare and the revelations from Mr. Gruber that they took advantage of American people's ignorance, and they counted on the American people's stupidity in order to get that law passed. They intentionally lied to get it done. How do you maintain public support when you behave that way? Or... and it's not as if he's the first politician in the world who's ever deceived the American people. But he's one of the few who attempts to deceive openly. And when he's caught, he just grins. That's all. No big deal. You know, he lies. He'll lie some more. He got more lies for the American people. And whether he gets away with them or not, hard to say, but he is certainly one of the strangest politicians we've ever seen achieve national power in this country. And for a host of reasons, probably half the country figures he was born in Kenya, wasn't even eligible to be president. He has never produced a viable birth certificate. He just ignores it, just laughs and smiles, and, you know. And here we have a man who may not even be eligible to be president who's threatening to pass laws that will legalize other illegal aliens. You know, the truth of the matter is, of course, if he was born in Kenya, he is probably an illegal alien himself. So from the perspective of illegal aliens, is this a great country or what? You can break in across the border, ignore the laws, and get yourself elected president. It's like having Al Capone get to be president. And nobody's doing anything effective to really even comment or explore and discover whether these allegations are true or false. At times I look at what's happening here, and you see how the American people seem almost mystically handcuffed in a way where they can't seem to respond properly to what everybody can see if you care to look. And there is, at times, there's something that's almost spiritual. It's as if we, despite what's there and what's apparent, if you care to look at it, there are so many people who are not given eyes to see, are not given ears to hear, are not given an ability or an inclination to respond, that we sit and we accept these injustices and gross attacks on our national identity, on our laws. How is it that we aren't responding? How is it that we are not marching in the streets with torches and pitchforks? And government just laughs and grins and breaks some more laws. And it's not just the Democrats. Republicans are just as bad at the top of the Republican Party, top of the Democrat Party. Far as I can see, they are both captured by forces that are working for the destruction of this nation. And no one seems to care. It's a mystery to me. I don't understand why it is that we are. I don't know if it's a fluoride in the drinking water or something spiritual in end times where we are, as a nation, unable to act in our own best interests. But it is bewildering and hard to understand. At least it is for me, Melody. Do you find this hard to understand, or am I exaggerating? Am I getting excited? Much ado about nothing? What do you think?
I mean, we talk about the conditioning of the people for so long. And, you know, I put much of the blame on what's, not all of it, but a lot of the blame that is happening in this country for, you know, for what you always say, watching Dancing with the Stars. But yet the people have been conditioned over a long period of time, you know, for this agenda. I believe there is an agenda.
I agree.
And,
you. I agree.
I believe it is, you know, their lack of acknowledgement of what is happening is part of
that
agenda.
That's so disturbing to me about
it's
this.
Part of the agenda, and
people
it
can't
started
seem
a long
to rec-
time ago.
People can't seem to recognize their own best interests. They can't seem to recognize our national best interests.
I think they recognize their personal, but I don't believe they recognize the national. You know, as long as we have July 4th and we can wave a flag and say, you know, do all the things that make us a country, they're satisfied with that. We've been conditioned for a long time that, you know, politicians lie. We've been conditioned for a long time that there isn't anything you can do but go to the voting thing and vote, do your deal. And then there's the other group that says, what's the point of voting? It's rigged anyway, so why should I even bother? So you have all these various elements that are not coming together. Everybody's going in their own different direction. It's been divided.
Yeah, I know.
And it's all part of that agenda. So, yes, I blame the people for allowing them to be divided. but yet it is part of the agenda, and here we are today. So when you have bills and laws and, hey, this is good news, now, you know, they're still smoking pot, you know, and everything else, you know, which I don't, you know, I don't conform to, you know, I don't believe, you know, I'm against legalization of marijuana and or any other drugs. But then again, heck, you have physicians that are writing prescriptions on a daily basis, you know, to give people drugs to calm them out down and so forth. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. This world is messed up.
Are licensed and the physicians make a lot of money. That makes it okay, Melody.
No.
Pharmaceutical industries makes a lot of money that way.
Well, they're still making a lot of money off the legalization of marijuana, too.
I
so,
know.
Pardon?
I don't know how much is being made.
Through taxes? Oh, absolutely.
Well,
yeah, there's a lot of money to be made, and it's not doing anything to remove the criminal element, you know, from drugs by legalizing marijuana. The big money is made in everything else. You know, that, you know, the harder drugs, hey, the drug dealers love the U.S. of A. We're the biggest users of drugs, recreational drugs, whatever you want to call in the world.
But not only that.
So dumb us down.
We are ones that are running the war on drugs.
Drink that booze. What?
And we're the ones that are running the war on drugs. It's the war on drugs that makes drugs so extraordinarily profitable. And
what it doesn't mean making it legal is the right thing to do. And again, it comes back to Washington. Comes right back to Washington.
What are most people addicted to? Dollar bills. And the only reason
not the poor
aren't addicted to pot per se.
Not the poor.
I mean, some people are in the same sense that some people are addicted to alcohol and tobacco. I get that. But the real addiction that drives the drug trade is not the drug per se and the high. The real addiction is the addiction to the money that can be made distributing what are in many cases just some weeds.
So how do you expect to be able to keep illegal aliens out of this country when you can't even keep drugs out?
Well, I understand.
You know, hey, and it's all part of the border
drugs
problem.
Are prisons.
They're prisons,
the
yeah.
War on drugs. They've got four high walls around the prison and barbed wire on the top and just little doors, relatively small doors, in and out of the prison. And they still can't keep the drugs out of the prisons.
So what problem is that?
Well, it just proves that the whole drug war is futile.
No, it isn't futile. You need people in there to make change. It's just like anything else. Yeah, it's not going to change.
I'm not here to advocate the use of drugs. I think it's stupid. But at the same time, I recognize it isn't going to stop.
Illegalizing is not going to fix the problem.
Well, it's not going to fix the problem.
It's not going to take that much money away.
Problem any more than prohibition fixed the problem with
because
people drinking.
It's still going to be controlled, just like your value of your diamonds. You'll still have an elite group that control the flow of drugs into the country, and they will continue to get wealthier and wealthier. The poor saps that were the intermediates, the guy, he's the one that won't have the money. You know, but those that are in power, the billionaires already, those that control the flow of drugs, those that control the flow of the alcohol, they will continue to get wealthier and wealthier. So the money will still be there and you still have.
I get that. But here's the point from my perspective. If people want to do drugs, they're going to do drugs. First point. All right? We are dealing. All right, but we're going to do it. But they're not going to want it as much if they can't get rich off the deal or make a buck off the deal. All right, drugs is kind of like a multi-level marketing system for poor people. All right, they can go out. I buy myself a kilogram of drugs. I sell you a couple ounces. You sell a fraction of an ounce to somebody else. Everybody makes a buck off the deal in theory. That's part of it. But when you criminalize this, that's what puts the money in it. You know, I saw years ago, and this goes back into the 60s. I saw an article in Time magazine. They were talking about when the import of foreign drugs was growing dramatically in this country, and they were warning that the drug people, the drug smugglers were making so much money, they could begin to elect their own congressmen and even senators. But what would a senator or congressman do if he'd been elected by drug people? He would never legalize drugs. They want the drug business, the drug profits, depend on the war on drugs. That knocks out legitimate competition. If legitimate competition came in, drugs would be available, but they'd be cheap. There'd be no reason to rob people to get your drugs. There'd be no reason to kill people to distribute drugs. The amount of violence would be diminished. And I know that some people would die from using the drugs. I get that. But they're going to probably die anyway.
I disagree.
There's not an easy answer to any of this, but some things, you know, you got to...
No, you know what? People talk about enforcing laws. And no, I don't believe if you're caught with a joint, you end up in jail for 10 years. But I'll tell you what, there shouldn't be immunity to these people who tattle. Everyone, I mean, we're going to break. We'll continue.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, talking about the war on drugs. And I don't know if we want to go into that deeper right now. We got a caller, Joe from Arkansas. Want to take Joe's call or go deeper into the war on drugs, Melody?
Let's go to Joe from Arkansas.
Hi, Joe. What you got for us?
Okay. Well, since you were talking about the war on drugs, I wanted to put my 2 cents in on this. And that's this. In all my reading of American history, I've read a lot of American historical novels by various authors, and I've read a lot of American history. And in all of this, you know, drugs were completely legal from the beginning of the country, 1776, till about the 1930s. The 1930s was when they outlawed marijuana and heroin and cocaine, I believe, and, you know, those other drugs. And as I recall from all my reading of American history and American historical novels, the only drug problem of any significance whatsoever that is ever mentioned in any of these histories that I've read is alcohol. And apparently during the time of the Wild West and all the time, you know, when marijuana was completely legal, There was no problem whatsoever with it. All it was a good cash crop for a lot of farmers. You know, they grew the hemp, and it made excellent paper, excellent rope, excellent fiber for clothing, and it was valuable bird food. And so, as far and still, you know, I can't remember. I grew up in the 1950s. I can't remember any marijuana problem in Chicago where I grew up during the 1950s. I never heard my parents mention any marijuana problem from the. They were both born in the teens, and from the teens to the 50s, I don't recall them mentioning any marijuana problem.
And I don't think
the marijuana problem started around 1965, 30 years after it was made illegal. So as far as I can see, the whole problem has been created by the laws against it.
And I don't think we can really compare those times with today either.
Why not?
I mean, look at our culture. Look at our society. I mean, where's the morals and the values that everybody always talks about? It was a little bit of a different world, too, at that point. And I'm not saying that, you know, there were never any drugs and so forth. Look at our population. Look at our jobs. I mean, come on, you got to put all these together to. I mean, there's no way you can make a comparison then.
I don't think
so. And I agree. I think marijuana, of all the things, marijuana might be, should be legalized, because you're right. There's hemp. You can make, I mean, there's a lot of valuable uses for that. But just to call the war on drugs, no, I don't.
Here's the problem with the war on drugs that is bigger than anything else from my perspective. And I know this because I have been charged. I've been sued by the Attorney General of the state of Texas for $25,000 per day. That's $9 million per year. Because I was fiduciary for a trust that leased some tables, chairs, and a couple of computers to a corporation that manufactured colloidal silver. And the government wanted to go after colloidal silver, and they'd been at it. They had six defendants before I was brought in, and there was a husband, wife, and their corporation, and later another man, his corporation, and his trust. They manufactured colloidal silver, an inexpensive antibiotic. I was the last defendant. First three defendants, they spent $160,000 on attorneys, got nothing, went into bankruptcy, went into divorce, disappeared, they're gone, don't know where they are. Last guy, he's still in business because, in large measure, because he asked me to help, and I volunteered, and I got in, and they made a defendant out of me, much to my surprise. I'm threatened with fines of $9 million a year for the manufacture and distribution of colloidal silver. This is the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance. This is the drug laws we're talking about. And you read the definition of drugs, and that's what I did. I read the definition of drugs, and the definition of drugs, definition of food, the definition of medical devices all include the phrase man or other animals, which is to say, they didn't say man or animals, it says man or other animals. You can find this at Title 21, Section 321 of the United States Code. They see all of us as nothing but animals. The premise for the whole war on drugs is that you and your parents and your children and everyone else are nothing but animals. And as such, you have no significant rights. This country started with the premise, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, by God, with certain unalienable rights. And the third sentence of the Declaration says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. The purpose of government as envisioned by the founding fathers was to secure to every man, woman, and even unborn child their God-given unalienable rights. But they were talking about the men and women made in God's image as per Genesis 1, 26 through 28, which clearly distinguishes us from animals. The government comes along and passes these laws, and they said, no, you people are just livestock. And the law's incidentally been on the books since 1906. To the best of my knowledge, I was the first layman to read the laws and understand what they meant on a spiritual level in 2006. And the Attorney General dropped the case against me and the other six defendants in the case. That was with the grace of God being able to understand this. But he just dropped the case after investing 6 years and nearly $500,000. The government sees all of you as livestock. You can verify this for yourself, folks, if you want. Google 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. To the best of my knowledge, that's the first instance where they define drugs and food in terms of man or other animals. It is intolerable. It is an act of genocide. Before the Germans, through the before the Nazis, through the Jews in concentration camps in Germany, they passed the 1935 Nuremberg Act, or laws, excuse me, Nuremberg laws, which declared the Jews to be Untermenschen, subhuman, animals. Once they were declared to be animals, they have no protection. There's no reason you can exterminate them like a hive of wasps. And your government has done the same thing with you and me and everybody in this country by declaring that man or other animals, using that phrase, definition of drugs, definition of food, definition of medical devices. It is an act of genocide perpetrated against the American people by the American government. It is intolerable. All right? It cannot be, and I don't give a damn about what the best good interests are about drugs. I don't care what's going on. You cannot strip this nation of the fundamental values it was built on for the convenience of government. And yet that's what we've done. And it goes, that problem we talked about earlier in the program, people just seem ignorant, blind, and they don't seem to know, understand, or care. And something extraordinary is being lost. Joe, are you still there?
Yeah, I'd like to add this to that. The Obamacare extends the definition of us as most, because under Obamacare, the government is saying you have no right to decide for yourself, you know, mm-hmm. what kind of insurance you're going to have or how are you going to take care of your health. We will decide that for you. And further, we will decide when you go to the death panels, when you die, just as a farmer decides when his domestic animals are slaughtered, when they die.
Yeah, so when you stop giving enough milk to me. When you stop producing enough milk to justify the farmer's cost of hay and wheat and or oats and whatever it is they're feeding you, at that point in time, guess what? You're going to be making a little trip down the highway going to the slaughterhouse. It's true
exactly,
for cows.
Yeah.
It's true for other animals. And the government sees all of us. And this is not a misunderstanding. Title 21, Section 321 of the United States Code. Find the definition of food, find the definition of drugs, find the definition of devices, and that's the devices applies to medical devices. It's all based on man or other animals. They presume you to be animals. That should terrify people. You should be infuriated that your government has done this to you and your kids and your parents for 100 years. And it's not an accident. They're doing it intentionally because there is no proviso. When they said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, they're talking about the men made in God's image. They're not talking about animals. There are no God-given unalienable rights for animals. The government has no obligation to secure your God-given unalienable rights if they can presume that you're an animal and you won't defend yourself against that presumption. Then kick you around any way they want, and all you get to do is go moo or baa. Because your congressman, your senator, your president, your federal judges sit there and say, you people are nothing but a bunch of little animals. And we can raise you just like a farmer raises cattle in his, you know, in the lower 40. It's terrible. Unacceptable. Needs to be stopped. What else, Joe?
Well, I just wanted to say one more thing about marijuana, and that's in 1983, I spent some time in India, and I saw marijuana hemp plant going very commonly by the side of the road as weed. And I was out in the countryside there in small towns and so on like that where you never saw a cop. And I never saw anybody smoking the marijuana. Everybody smoked these little cigars, you know, made of tobacco. They called them beedies. But nobody smoked the marijuana, even though it was available in every roadside ditch.
You know, I was driving through Dallas. I live in Dallas, Texas. Driving through one of the suburbs back probably 2 years ago, maybe three. And there are water channels. I can't think of the proper term, but they catch the rainwater. And I mean, these are big. They're like small streets. All right, they're at least two cars wide. And they will handle in the rain, it takes the water. And there's places where it bends and curves, and the dirt starts to pile up there in the corners. And you go by, you could look down, and there was like half an acre of marijuana growing down there in the channel. You could see it. I know what it looks like. I know what it is. It's just bizarre. And I don't know that anybody's picking it, but it's just all the seeds that are washing in are finding the dirt that's piled up in the corners, and they grow there. So pretty amazing to me. It's all around. It is a natural phenomenon. I mean, it's like trying to criminalize swimming in the ocean because the shark might get you. We're going to give everybody a ticket if we catch you walking on the beach, because you might go swimming, so we're going to throw you in jail. There's some things you just can't do. I don't care if they're good ideas or not. There's some things that just aren't going to work. And if you look at the drug war, however long we've had it now, probably most of my life, it hasn't succeeded. Drugs are more common today than probably ever. It's part of the reason they're being legalized. Or marijuana is. It's because the drug war hasn't worked.
And I'm not saying it has worked. But just to make a common statement that so inclusive that says, you know, let's just legalize everything, all this hardcore crap. Have you ever seen what it does to people? And yes.
Yeah, I've seen what alcohol does.
Other than on TV.
I've seen what tobacco does.
Realize
we kill far more people with alcohol and tobacco than we do with conventional drug with allegedly illegal drugs. Why don't, if we're going to save these people, let's throw them in jail. If you smoke a cigarette, throw you in jail. You have a martini, you're going glass
hey,
of wine.
They're trying to in Massachusetts. They're trying to ban cigarettes.
That's my point. It's not going to work.
And it's not going to
work. What was the most effective anti-drug event of probably the 1980s? I don't remember the decade for sure, but I think the 1980s. And it was the death of Len Bias, college athlete, died playing basketball. All right, just stroked out because he'd had too much cocaine. And what happened? The demand for cocaine dropped precipitously. Why? Because the kids that are using it aren't as stupid as a lot of people suppose. They want to have some fun. They want to get high, but they don't want to die. And it is unfortunate, but
nobody plans on becoming addicted to it.
I know
the drugs are very.
But the way people learn to stay away is sometimes we have to let some of us die. And we learn from that. And it's unfortunate and it's tragic, but maybe it's a more effective mechanism to stop most people from using drugs. You see people die and say, I don't want any of that. You don't see them die. And it's just a government prohibition and you can make some money. Completely different impression. We're out of time, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederson. Joe, thank you for your call here on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Joe, all from Arkansas, I think. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.